Oh, you're becoming the character. You know, it's going back to make believe, and I know it sounds very childish, but I don't care. I love it. You put on this person, and you become that person, kind of like an actor putting on a wig and becoming that character of what it is. And even though you're not, as a cosplayer, you're probably not doing a movie of that book, but I think it's fun even just like putting on a wig and like going out and just, you know, I'm wearing a pink wig today. I'm just, that's who I am. And you just become whatever character it is. You don't have to do book reviews or even a patron or anything like that to cosplay. I think it's just having fun.
The voice you just heard belongs to Elizabeth Suggs.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Suggs. I am a cosplayer, a bookstagrammer, a president of a writing chapter, and a writer, an editor. Yeah, lots of things.
Who met with me over Zoom to nerd out with me about cosplay and books. You'll probably hear in my voice how much I'm a fan of Elizabeth Suggs' creativity and energy. She's involved in a lot of pursuits, I can relate to that, and she's an effervescent delight as she talks about her passion for inhabiting a character and encouraging people to read indie authors. Stick around for the end of the episode for an episode extra, a bunch of anthologies to which you can submit that Elizabeth Suggs' company, Collective Tales Publishing, is taking submissions for this calendar year. I'm your host, Liz Christensen, and it's all in the telling. Welcome to episode 67 with Elizabeth Suggs, the cosplaying bookstagrammer.
So cosplay is basing your costume off of a character. A lot of people will do like superheroes, and I mean, I like that too. I love, you know, superheroes, especially Wonder Woman, because she's, you know, she's just the best. But there are like different things that like cosplay, they don't have to be superheroes. They can also be like books or different people. Honestly, I think you can cosplay as a real person if you get permission. You know, you're not just like going off on the street and being like, I'm Brad Pitt. But I guess like celebrities are a little bit different. But for instance, in this recent book I had reviewed, it was I'll have to send you the picture, but essentially I was the character on the cover. And I had a typewriter. And it was really fun. And that's a little bit different because usually, you know, you're cosplaying as actual, like famous, like people that a lot of people know. And this is more of an indie author, but I think that's totally cosplay as well, especially if the author's like, please cosplay as the cover. So it's like, yes, I will do that.
Is that where your cosplay comes from? Did it evolve out of your being a book reviewer?
Yeah. So it all started on Instagram because I was like, I'm going to be a bookstagrammer because I love reading. There's like a definite balance. You have to be like, okay, well, everyone needs reviews and I want to help people, but you know, you only have so much time in the world. But what I really like is getting those book reviews online and doing a visual aspect of it. Cause you get like, you know, I'll write a book review on Goodreads and Amazon, but on Instagram, it's a little bit different because you do want to take pictures of the books. Maybe you do a selfie or something, but everyone does that. Every single person does that. And there's nothing wrong with that because Instagram is all about visual, but I wanted to do something different. So with the help of my friend, Jonathan, who were co-owners of Collective Tales Publishing, we essentially were like, let's get authors like a voice in this, like a video platform. So I reviewed authors' voice, like indie authors, some we wanted to like, you know, build a relationship with, but others are just strangers. And, I do want to stress that all of my reviews are honest, and that has made awkward situations, but that's, you know, having the honest reviews, we, you know, do them on Goodreads, on Amazon. And then I do it as a video blog, like a little video, 30 second to a minute blog, video, you know, after a while that's like, okay, well, can we do something different? So, if there's a book, like a character, like say Dracula, right? I haven't done one of Dracula yet, but if I was reviewing this book, yeah, I would do I would be a vampire. And so just finding characters, even in independent authors, books, like even if they're not exactly that story, it kind of captures the message. So I'll like dress up as like an alien character or like a science fiction book I just did recently. I dressed up in like this metallic, what you would think of a millennial, like the 2000s, that really futuristic look. And it had nothing to do with the book, but it was sci-fi. And so it kind of captured that message. So that's where a lot of the cosplay comes from. And then I also now have a Patreon, which is just cosplay, and it doesn't really have anything to do with books. It's mostly just to get those cosplay outfits to able, you know, to do those book reviews.
I also originally got the impression that cosplay had to be something you made, like crafted yourself. Is there like a hierarchy of cosplay snobbery?
Yeah. So I am still learning how to sew. So I'm not, definitely not making my own cosplay outfits most of the time, but there are those people, some of the ladies and men who can like put on those outfits that they've actually created, and it looks really cool. I'm very jealous because those look way better than, you know, Amazon. Just like you buy it from just a random place. And yeah, there's definitely I wouldn't say a hierarchy. Maybe, you know, there's probably the people who make their costumes are probably like, oh yes, I am so good. But I've gone through the idea of just like getting a whole bunch and then eventually making them. Like currently I am trying to create a wig. And so it's actually not as hard as you would think. You know, you just need extensions and like a wig cap, and then you're just going to sew it in. I really like that. That's where I want to go eventually. And so I feel like most cosplayers, if they like doing it a lot, it does save them money to end up making them in the long run. And it's, if you want to make it like as a long-term thing, I think it's better to become crafty. So just in, because you put your own creative spin on it, you know, Amazon or Google or wherever you buy your outfits can only do so much before it's just like every other, like a Halloween costume almost.
I want you to kind of dig into that distinction between putting on a Halloween costume and cosplaying.
So I really think that there's not a huge distinction in the sense of like, I could wear a Halloween costume and cosplay as that. Halloween is, you know, it's set for October, but it also brings in new people who are probably not as nerdy, who probably wear that costume and they're, you know, the cool cats, but I'm definitely nerdy. So I think the big difference is knowing like characters really maybe deeply, in the sense of like you cosplay not just as like whoever you found on Amazon or something like that on a whim, but you cosplay as that character because that person meant something to you. And I think that's a huge difference, is because Halloween is just for fun. Cosplay is for fun as well, but it's also just more personal, more like this is a character I've grown up with. I really care about this person. I want to become not exactly that person, but you know, a part of that person. I want to become closer to that person.
That's so interesting that came out of a book consumption place, because the one is completely not a visual medium and the other is entirely a visual medium.
Yeah.
How are you handling that on a personality level?
Well, I've always wanted to get into theater and art. I haven't really just committed the time. As a child, I've always written. And so I'm just, you know, been focused on that. But given the opportunity to blend both has been really satisfying. There are certain times when I'm like dressed up as a character. For instance, I was at the beach just last week, and I was like in, this is going to sound so cheesy, but I was dressed as like a mermaid, and I like Ariel, like I didn't have my red hair because I forgot the wig, but I did really feel like I was becoming a part of my childhood, and it just felt so awesome. And then also being like, with the mermaid one, there isn't really, you know, I could probably find a Little Mermaid book for that. But there is an independent book that has like mermaids on it. So I'm going to like mix that with. So it's like, you know, I like the idea of making books, because books are cool. I think they're cool. But I think maybe if people see that books can be visual, and that they can see that, oh, there is a connection between that character I grew up with, then maybe they'll read more and enjoy books a lot more. But on a personality level, I've always been, you know, visual and just wanting something to merge with like just have like a marriage between the cosplay and the writing. I think that's, it's always been kind of like deep within me as a person.
This is going to sound so judgmental, but since I knew you were a writer and an editor first, I assumed you were an introvert. And then, then I started seeing like your TikTok videos and I was like, she is extroverting all over the place. Like she seems totally comfortable on camera. Are you just really good at faking that? Or are you comfortable on camera?
So I think for the most part, I'm comfortable, especially with doing them so often. You get to a point where you're just like, okay, this is just, I mean, it's fun, but it's also kind of like a work, like you've been trained to do that. So you're kind of like, okay, I know what I'm going to do. Even in like the short span, I think I've only been doing this for the book review visual side for just a few months or something. But even just like within that time frame, I have seen like a drastic change in how I'm even presenting myself on the camera. So that's nice. And I think I'm a mix of introverted and extroverted because, there are times when you're with people and you're just like, okay, I just need to like read a book or like play a video game. I need to do anything else that's not social, which I know some video games are social, but I'm one of those weird people who likes to just play one player games or two player games with just like one other, just like a person in your house. Right. But then there are times when I really crave that attention. And so having that balance is really nice for me.
How are you picking up other skills as part of this? Like, I imagine that you're learning about like lighting, about hair and makeup. What kind of stuff has surprised you about what you're learning in order to pull off this marriage between book reviewing and cosplay?
So Jonathan does a lot of the video editing, but even seeing what he does with like the green screen is so cool. Cause I'm like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. You just need like the apps. There are so many apps you can use that sure, maybe you have to pay for some apps, but some of them are free or like they're not that expensive. So it's that surprised me. Also how many lights really takes, like sometimes you only need like one or two, two or four or something, but sometimes you need like a bunch to just like light you up. And yeah. And also because I have blonde hair, it's annoying on the green screen because I make a little green halo because, it wants to go through and make me bald. So I think that's funny. Another thing is makeup. I'm not the best person when it comes to makeup. I get kind of impatient. Like right now, I for those of you who can't see me, I'm wearing lipstick and I have like some light, eye makeup. One of my friends, Whitney, she's like amazing when it comes to makeup. And I'm like, I need you to teach me. That's another thing too, is learning about myself and being okay with not being impatient. I just need to not be impatient when it comes to makeup. That's another thing I need to learn about myself.
Can you kind of elaborate on that? Like what you're learning about yourself in terms of this being impatient while you take on new creative endeavors? Cause I feel like I might relate to this a lot and I would love for you to mentor me through. So
I think I have slight ADHD. It's definitely undiagnosed. You can definitely see it with the reels and the TikToks. Having the, like I have passions, I have ideas, I have focus. I want to learn things constantly, but I've noticed this, including makeup, but I've noticed there's a part of me that's like, well, if it's not done in this amount of time, then I want to just like move on to the next thing. And that's, that's an impatient thing. And it's also a focus, but I've learned how to really kind of shy away from that, like bouncing around and conversations, that's fine. But like having that focus, like with like makeup, cause I really want to be, I want to be able to sit and like, do the cool face makeup, do the cool lipstick. And so having that desire to focus has really helped me hone in on that. Also, if I listen to an audiobook, because, I'm reading a bunch of books all the time, so sometimes my eyes get tired. So I like to do audiobooks. And I mean, people who don't like audiobooks, I love audiobooks. People should love audiobooks. I don't know why they don't. But audiobooks are great because they're also another way of, getting the a marriage between two different things, like an auditory and writing, right? So that's it's nice to have that. But having that there, like say if I'm listening to a book, like right now I'm listening to Paper Wife. And so I, am able to focus actually doing makeup because I'm listening to the book. I'm doing, even though the make, okay, this is going to sound mean. I don't know mean, but even though makeup is, you know, it's a profession, it definitely is something that people really value. Sometimes I think I lose focus on that because I'm like, well, it's just makeup. And so I have to like do something like with, you know, listening to a book and being like, no, this is a valuable thing. Like, no, I love makeup. I think people who use makeup, you know, they're beautiful. Like, but I think it's just that losing focus. So having that, like that drive with the book, I'm like, oh, I'm doing this like productive thing while I'm doing makeup. And hopefully that answers your question. I know I like very much like bounced around, but.
Yeah. I really relate to that too, in terms of feeling like whatever I'm doing needs to accomplish multiple objectives at once, yes, in order for it to be a productive moment.
Yes. And it's very much, I am very much like that. And I know there are certain tasks you can't do multiple, you have to have complete focus. So it's kind of, I know exactly what you mean on that, but like if I'm playing video games, for instance, if I'm playing Stardew Valley, it's a very low key game. It's a farming game. I don't know if you know Stardew Valley, but it is lovely, but it's, you know, you don't necessarily have to listen to anyone. You listen to the music and then they have like the text, and it's like very old school in the way that it's, you know, built. It's pixelated and it has like little text you have to read, which I love. But I have that, you know, playing that game and then I'm like listening to a book or I'm like pausing to like write something out. And, but sometimes you just need that focus. And so, yeah, it's hard feeling like you need to be productive all the time, because sometimes, or even like the empty moments where you're just like sitting by yourself is, those are productive moments too. And I've had to like learn that it's okay to like do absolutely nothing and just sit with that like nothingness. I don't know. It's like, you know, meditating and stuff, but yeah, that's, yeah.
So my observation of your life is that you are very busy and that you're busy with a lot of fun, cool, creative things,
yeah,
that don't tend to automatically grant financial success. So like you have a podcast, you edit, you write, you cosplay, you review books. Bookstagram isn't like, and Goodreads, like nobody pays Goodreads reviewers.
No, how, yeah, I
pulling all this off.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really stress, like I know some people do sell reviews, you know, they get money from reviews, but I really don't like that idea. You really need to, you know, do it for free because that's how you get the honest thing. So yeah, I know what you mean. Like I'm reviewing these books and where does it come? I have some savings, so that really helps. But it's also the fact of like, so those cosplay, you know, having the Patreon, it's, you know, starting to pay for cosplay outfits, but it's also giving like a surplus. And also, so that's nice to like, you know, just live. And then also, you know, I don't like sell reviews, you know, that's all for free. But if, you know, a person who I've reviewed or I haven't reviewed just wants marketing visuals on social media or just like marketing on their own, like strategies, I sell that. And if it's like Instagram, social media stuff, Jonathan and I work on that together. You know, we'll essentially boost up their book, but I always have to stress that they're not going to necessarily get a good review if like I have to be like, look, you know, I mean, actually recently there was one person who's going to get like a 3-star, and you know, it's fine. Like, but it's like, it's just, you just have to give the honest review, even if there's like, you boost it up and stuff, that's fine. But because they're not paying for the review. But yes, that's, so it's all of that stuff and just like sustaining myself, and it's starting to actually grow. And, you know, editing, it's also like that starting to grow too. That's nice. But yeah, it's not that much right now, but I feel comfortable enough at the moment to where I feel like, and it's starting to ramp up. So I actually feel pretty confident. You know, it's just like starting any kind of company. And there are things that I'm doing for free that I probably shouldn't do for free because it's just like for instance, well, it's just like different hobbies. For instance, one of them is different writing groups with presentations. But I feel like, because I want to be a teacher, I want to be a professor. Eventually, I'm going to go back to school and get my master's. And I really like the idea of teaching even if people can't pay, I think it's so important for the community at large, because while, like, yeah, maybe I could sell, you know, get paid for presentation, and that's nice, but it's really nice to feel like if this person is getting educated by my presentation, for instance, like, you know, the presentation on making monsters, where it's like this horror one all about like creating monsters and crafting them. It's not really helping me at the moment, but hopefully those people are going to create a book. And then that book is going to, even if it's not successful, maybe they'll come to me later and, you know, they'll ask for marketing tips. And if they don't, they still have, you know, helped that community, and maybe they'll share their knowledge. And, you know, with enough people buying and publishing their books, I think, I don't know, it's like one of those really, you know, slow progression, like hopefully everyone gets better, but because I don't feel like writers read enough. And so maybe eventually more people will read after all of this. And, I don't know. But it's, yeah, a lot of dreams, a lot of hopes and stuff. But short answer, I contract and do freelance. That is how I sustain myself. I go off, yeah, a long time. But, yeah.
I watch your TikTok. I watch your Instagram. We're friends on Facebook. Like, yeah. I can't tell, like, do you wake up and go, I'm going to be Wonder Woman today. I'm going to be a mermaid today. Or like, do you have a calendar? I can't tell from on the outside how this goes. All I know is that there is a consistent variety of fun things that you are putting out into the world. So what's the behind the scenes structure of how that happens?
Well, it depends on a few things. So one of them, yeah, it is just like waking up and Jonathan or me going, you know what? I really want to cosplay this person. Like, for instance, the hair, the wig that I'm creating, I'm doing this as like a, you know, a guilty pleasure, because it's not really a book. And sometimes I do that where it's not exactly a book, but I really try to make a spin on it. But for the wig, it's, if anyone has seen the German movie Run Lola Run, it's, oh my God, it's from the 90s, and it has like, I have like the biggest crush on the guy, the Moritz Bleibtreu, and the actress is just fantastic. I love her. And, but the actress has this like bright red, like aerial red hair, but it's like punky, and I want to look just like her. Anyway, so it's just like, I woke up one day and I was like, I want to do that. And I want to, you know, speak my German. And then there are other ones with, when I review books. So, you know, because I get so many books, I do have to, you know, kind of plan like, okay, well, for instance, one is this poetry book. Because it's poetry, there's a lot of abstract things. There's a lot of personal things. You don't, at first glance, there's not anything to cosplay. But there is, on the back of on the back cover, there is a little mermaid tail. And so I'm going to use that. And my dad has a clawfoot tub. And so I'm going to wear my little, wear a bikini and then like have the mermaid tail and just like hanging over the top and then just do my book review. So like, you know, things like that. And then and requests. So sometimes people will request certain things like people wanted the, you know, Slytherin was kind of a fun one. It was a swimsuit. And so it was a very low key and I didn't have my hat. I was like, I'm holding a stick and not even a wand, but, you know, they wanted it. So I was like, okay, like let's do this. And it's like a little swimsuit that has like a little skirt. And so I like did a curtsy, which I thought that was funny, but, So just requests, inspiration, and then, you know, just sudden inspiration, and then, books.
From the outside looking in at cosplay, mm-hmm. I assumed the first time I went to like Salt Lake Comic Con, the first name of FanX, right?
Yeah.
This is the first time I was like, cosplay? What is this word? And I assumed that most people geared their cosplay to that which was closest to their physical. Like I would cosplay Jennifer Garner things. And I have noticed that you don't seem to care. So there's this like, you have this Stranger Things season 2 cosplay that is like spot on.
Oh, awesome. Thanks.
The second I saw it, I was like, well, of course, no one else could cosplay this as well as she could. But you don't seem to like behold yourself to that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you prioritize it differently, or what is it? Is it just what you want to do?
It's just what I want to do. I mean, there are certain things that I am hesitant for because I don't want to offend anyone. But if they're like generally like kind of similar, I know there's a lot of like really like, because I have an hourglass. And so there are some that are like stick skinny. So I, you know, definitely don't have that. But at the same time, I'm like, it's just me. Like, this is my take on it. Yeah. The only times it would be if it was a different race. And I never want anyone to think I'm making fun of anyone. Because the reels and the TikToks are silly. And so if a group gets offended, then it's just like, well, you know, I didn't mean that. So I tend to stay away from that kind of stuff. But yeah, everything else is fair game. I even like will do, you know, I'll dress up as men. Like, you know, I am very much a woman. I identify as a woman, but I think it's just kind of fun. Like the Twilight Zone guy. I forget his name, but I like grew up with Twilight Zone, and there's like a comic book apparently that Jonathan gave me to read. And I was like, this is amazing. But yeah, like I just wore like this, like one suit that I've worn at like interviews, like, and I just, you know, pulled my hair back and I was good to go.
I mean, you kind of said eventually you want to be a professor. You'll go back, you get your master's degree. Mm-hmm. You seem like a very organized person. And I don't want to say goal oriented because I think people misconstrue that, but you definitely like take things to their realization.
Yeah.
If you're like, I'm going to do this thing, that thing happens. Yeah. So are there like interim things that you want to make happen between now and being a professor with having your master's degree?
So I definitely want to, so being a professor, getting the master's degree will lead me to that. I think eventually I want to get a PhD. So we'll see with that. But the master's actually, I'm going to go to school in September for that.
Oh, cool. And, yeah, so that's way more on the shorter horizon than what I imagined.
Yeah, that one's exciting. But like between now and then, I want to just teach people, you know, getting that experience and getting people to love the writing community, because I feel like some people think books are stuffy. So maybe with cosplay, they'll think it's fun and then they'll experience loving, you know, writing again and or reading. And it's good that I'm on the good guy side because I very much like to peer pressure people into reading or writing. I'm like, you know, you wrote in high school, maybe you should try writing. Like I have a few friends who they're not writers, but I'm like, have you ever thought about writing? You should come with me. Yeah, it's good and bad. But I do want to use that experience. And I know it sounds kind of ridiculous, but I do want to use that experience with cosplaying, with editing and presentation, all of that stuff to, when I become like a professor, use that in classes and make people make fun of themselves and be silly. And so I definitely, all of this stuff right now, it's a lot of stuff, but I'm using all of it as like this, like really expansive resume to be like, hey, look, universities, I am this, you know, I've done this for years and years and years. This is why this class of cosplay / book reviews is a legitimate class. So, I mean, I've already started to plan out how I would have like a semester with like, cause you know, at universities, you're like even community colleges or anything like that. There are those silly classes. Like, I didn't go to this class, which I wish I would have, but it was all about barbed wire. So that was interesting. And I did take a class on mad scientists. So I want to do like a really fun, random class that benefits people that they talk about later. But yeah, so I'll do my master's. And then after that, I'll probably take a break, maybe work at a college and then eventually get a PhD.
I'm delighted by how much fun this is for you.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right. I think a lot of people think of reading and writing as a very stuffy or heady academic scholarly, even when it's enjoyable and cathartic and entertainment, it is still it's like high end entertainment, right? Like, and here you are also playing video games and cosplaying and none of that has any kind of discrepancy or disparity for you.
Yeah, it shouldn't. I feel like more people, people have, they take reading too seriously. And I don't want to say blame, but I think in high school, we focus too much on classics. And I love classics. I'm in a classic book club because I'm that nerdy, especially Russian literature, which, by the way, it's like, it's all, it's like an entire conversation and then it all ends sad. But I don't know why I keep reading it.
I really, really need you to cosplay Anna Karenina now.
Yes. Oh, yes, I will do this. Actually, this sounds amazing. Oh, yeah. I wish that in high school it was, and middle school, it was required to not just do classics. Like, you should definitely have the option, but most people don't have that attention span. They should be able to read graphic novels. They should be able to, or comics, and they should be able to read like contemporary works, like be, you know, find value in independent and traditionally published authors and see the differences, see how that can create a love for reading. Because, you know, honestly, a lot of, you know, high schoolers don't, I don't want to say all of them, but a lot of them tend to not like to read so much. You know, they like watching movies or playing with, you know, hanging out with their friends. And that's perfect. That's fine. That's completely natural. So they don't, but they don't have a lot of experience, or as you should when you're reading a classic. So of course they're going to think it's boring. Like, some of those words are hard. Like, I sometimes, if I'm not focused on a classic, I have to like read it over and over. And like, there's some weird words that like, that aren't hard and you understand what they are, but like, they're not used. Like, in a lot of Russian books, there's always like the, oh, that's capital. That's capital. Like, who says that? No one says that. But I think because of that, high schoolers, middle schoolers would be like, this is boring. Or Shakespeare is not meant to be read. It's supposed to be acted. I just feel like if kids were able to get the option to read, like, maybe it doesn't have to be things that they would automatically choose. Maybe it doesn't have to be young adult. It could be adult. It could be, you know, just like a memoir or something. Like, give them options, and maybe they would love reading more. So I've always, and this is going to sound weird, but I am actually kind of shy. So it does kind of go into that introverted thing. So I've always felt a little uncomfortable at like when I first don't know certain people, or like if I go into a group, like even leading groups, sometimes I'm like, this is nervous. But, you know, I feel like, you know, cosplay can be intimidating, especially if you're like, I'm just going to dress up like Pixie from X-Men and with my pink hair and just like go to Smith's or something. Like, that is kind of scary. But in a way, it's, I think, it makes society question itself. You're helping change the world. But it's like D&D, where it's like, I've never dressed up as a character in D&D, which I do want to one day. That sounds awesome. But you become a character, at least in that like D&D world, that fantasy world, and there are no lines. Sometimes if you don't know what to do, you're just kind of going like, okay, what do? Do I just drink beer at the tavern? Like, do I guess you just have to just push yourself and you know, do that. I don't know how to, because you're going to always be nervous. You're always going to be scared. And you know, and some things are still going to scare you too, still, but you don't shove it away. You don't hide it. You just accept that part of yourself and then you just move on.
What scares you still about cosplay? What are you afraid to do about anything, actually? Because you don't strike me as somebody who's like, oh, that would be hard.
No, it's not a hard thing. In fact, if you tell me if it's like a difficult thing, then I'll probably get like, my rebellious hat will come on and I'll be like, it's not hard. I'm going to do this. It's a problem in my life. I am very much susceptible to needing to defy expectations. I think what scares me is not the cosplay or me, it's the people, which is like super weird, because I've had to like really think and like be like, you know, it's okay. Like, there, no one's, I mean, people are judging you, but it doesn't matter. Like, who cares? Like, what are they going to do? They're not going to stop you, hopefully. you know, a normal, you know, walking to a crowd, most people might look and be like, oh, that's so strange. But you're probably going to make their day. You're probably going to, like, delight them for the rest of their lives. And so I always just remind myself that, like, yeah, you know, people are scary. But you know what? What would you do in that situation? And honestly, it's like, so I get, like, nervous dancing. I can only dance if, I don't know, I guess I'll dance anywhere, but like if it's at a club, I get like extra nervous because it's like that expectation of being a good dancer, because I'm definitely not a good dancer. I don't know if you've seen my TikToks, but I am.
I've never looked like you were uncomfortable shaking it. Like, you just kind of do your thing, and it's very charming.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I dance, but I don't have amazing moves. Like, there are some cool music videos with some amazing moves that I'm like, I can never do that, and I wish I could. Maybe if I took classes, you know, then I'd be able to do it. But it's that same thing where it's like, if you don't dance, even if you're being really ridiculous about it, people will take more notice of you. And so by being nervous and by not doing that, you're actually making people look at you in probably a less favorable light. So if you dress up as cosplay and you just like strut your stuff and you're like, I don't care how silly I look, people will respect you. And so you just have to think of it in that way, because I think generally, I know there's a lot of tension these days and people are more stressed out, but I think honestly, like if we just put, you know, we set aside those differences, I think most people are generally good people. And I don't think they really, I mean, at least in my experience, I don't feel like most people really want to hurt each other. I mean, I think a lot of people are hurt lately, but, you know, for other reasons. But I think most people, they just want to be human with you. And if you're human with them, then, you know, it hopefully will work out. Never say definite, but I'm too optimistic.
I like that. I think it's totally true. Yeah. But I think it's interesting that you go to that place through putting on characters. Yeah. That being human is dressing up like Pixie from X-Men.
Yeah.
And a mermaid.
Yeah, because they're definitely not human, but it is that, because I think society throughout all the centuries, we've been so stuffy and refined and focused on doing exactly what's right and what's exactly meant to be, what you're supposed to do. But I think humans are naturally very creative people. And I don't think, you know, not everyone's a writer, not everyone's an illustrator or anything like that. But I think we all have the potential to be creative or silly or fun. And I think that is why cosplay is so important, and it is so important to defy expectations and go out in society, even as silly dressed up as you can be, like, you know, being Pixie from X-Men or something. Even doing that is it's so valuable, because it reminds people that we're all just humans. We all used to play dress up. Like, why is it suddenly different now that we're adults? There's no difference. And I think it's better to be okay with that and live with that, because you're going to have a better life. You're going to enjoy things more. You're not going to like shy away from who you really are. It's important.
What particularly this week is delighting you in your cosplay and Bookstagram worlds?
Let's see. So I'm actually, after this, I'm going to go do some reels and book reviews. One of them has already been recorded, but I'm excited for it to come up. There was a book where it was called Stained Mirror, where this detective is essentially a serial killer. So in the video, I dressed up not as the detective, because I don't have a police badge. And when I dressed up, I looked more like a victim, which is strange. Then like just like, cause I had this really blonde wig, like very, you know, stereotypical victim. So I like, and I had like a big baggy jacket on, like almost as if like a police officer put it on me during a scene of a crime. So I was like, let's just like, instead of trying to be a police officer or anything like that, I'm going to be the victim, but be a victim to myself. And so so with Jonathan's help, we made it so I ended up strangling myself. And and so there's two of me, and one of them's like dancing and being all cool. And the other person of me comes and just like walks in and just like pulls up her hands, and then I die. And so that's just like the end of it. But that one, it's really fun exploring those like double ones, because now having the green screen and some of those apps, all we have to do is just like, you know, upload. It's so simple. And like, I mean, sometimes it's difficult because you have to learn the stuff. But honestly, I feel like from my experience, maybe someone else disagrees, I don't know. But from my experience, it feels more simple than Adobe's like Premiere. Because I mean, sure, Premiere, just like Photoshop, has so many more options. But like Canva is kind of like the free version of Photoshop, but you can do, for like someone like me, where I didn't really study Photoshop or study Premiere, having these apps, like it's makes things really easy, and it's great. So, and so let's see, another one, it's not happening this week, but it's the, it's next Thursday, because I had to coordinate with my dad, but the clawfoot one, I'm very excited for that one. That's going to be really fun. Yeah. Yeah. So those are the two big ones. Yeah. I'm going to have to like, I had like a whole list. Ooh. Oh, there's a meat book. I wrote a little list of all the things I need to do. So the next thing that I'm going to do is, it's called Frankie Furter. I think that's the name of the book. And it's this meat book. And so it's like, was put it in like this weird, like meat styrofoam plastic thing. And so it's about like, I don't want to spoil it too much, but anyway, it's about meat and like icky gross stuff. And so I'm going to like dress up. I don't know what I should dress up as. I could dress up as a cow, or I could, maybe I won't do that. I'll probably be the main character, but essentially she's like a, you know, she deals with a lot of meat and icky stuff. And so it's going to be great. There's going to be lots of fake blood. and so that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that one. But yeah, so there's a bunch of things.
Thank you to my guest, Elizabeth Suggs.
Elizabeth, it's been so much fun talking with you today. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much, Liz. I appreciate being on.
Leave a review for In the Telling on Apple Podcasts. Find out more at LizzyLizzyLiz.com. Theme music by Gordon Vitas. In the Telling is hosted and produced by me, Liz Christensen. Thank you for listening.
Here are some anthologies that you guys can submit to right now. So Collective Tales Publishing. So there are three right now that are looking for submissions. One of them is Collective Visions, a sci-fi anthology. That one is, the theme is Lost in Transmission. The deadline is June 1st, and I'll send you the link, and just write something between 2,000 to 5,000 words. And then there are some options for shorter stories, but that's more to be unveiled later. And then the next one is Collective Humanity. This is an LGBTQ plus anthology and allies. And this anthology is all about, you know, it's focused on the speculative fiction. So it's everything that Collective Tales Publishing publishes. So horror, science fiction, fantasy, and dystopian. But it's all about metamorphosis, transformation, growth, renewal, or rebirth. This one is actually this is a charity anthology. All of the net profits, the net proceeds, are going to the Royal Court of the Golden Spike Empire General Fund. It's an LGBTQ plus Utah-based nonprofit organization. So it does not cost anything to submit, but we, you know, are asking if you want to donate to this anthology, like we have a link, or you can email me and I'll give you that information. And if you just want to help contribute to the anthology itself, because it will be doing like with the cover art and all that stuff, that'll just go directly to the making of the book. But so yeah, that one we want to just give back. And then the deadline for that is September 15th. So these are all this year. And then the last one is Collective Chaos, an apocalyptic anthology. It's the whole thing is about apocalyptic terrors and dystopian dreamscapes. And so if you need any help on that, just let me know. But we wanted to keep it kind of ambiguous, or, you know, possible for more options, because while it is nice to have like a really focused theme, sometimes it's really fun to see what people come up with. Then that deadline is December 20th, 2021. So just the same year. But yeah, so those are the anthologies you can submit to. They'll all be printed and ebooks, and I can't promise audiobooks for all of them, but that is something that is an option that may be available.